I'm gone. Praise him, praise him till I'm gone. When the praises go up,
the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap.
Welcome back to the Rant and Rave podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. First of all, if you haven't seen Honky, go see Honky. My husband Steve and I saw it for the second time this past weekend, and it closes June 12th. It's that time of year again. The Hollywood Fringe Festival is running from June 9th through 26th in several Hollywood venues. Rogue Machine has two plays going up during the festival, a production of Mike Bartlett's Bull, directed by Jennifer Polono, about the fine line between office politics and playground bullying. Bull previews June 7th and opens June 9th for 8 performances. The second Rogue show at the Fringe is Smoke by Kim Davies, directed by Lisa James. It opens June 13th for 7 performances. For more info on both of those productions, click to hollywoodfringe.org. With over 250 productions in the Hollywood Fringe, the choice of what to see can be a little overwhelming. I will be co-hosting the podcast See It or Skip It, helping audiences navigate this year's Fringe shows. As I like to say, we see the really bad plays, so you don't have to. You're welcome. So if you'd like some guidance on what to see in addition to Bull and Smoke, visit seeitorskipitla.com to hear our episodes and read our reviews of the Hollywood Fringe. As we head into June, we continue with the theme of propaganda. Here's Ron Batita to introduce our next writer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. Christina Segala is a writer, producer, director living in the wilds of Los Angeles. Her work includes a slew of plays, some film, and a smattering of television. She supports the sports teams of Baylor University. Yeah, usually someone goes, woo, whatever you say. She supports the sports teams of Baylor University and the Actors Studio MFA program. Ladies and gentlemen, Christina Segala.
Hey, y'all. I'm going to talk about my interesting heritage, which is white Christian. I've seen a lot of propaganda, from the disinformation of women's magazines, to the healing newspeak of Al-Anon, to the election years I spent in Texas. Propaganda is all around us, but in my experience, propaganda is best when polished, bronzed, and brandished by one particular army, an army with all the sneakiest tactics, brainwashing, testimonials, quotes out of context, unstated assumptions. It's an onslaught. That army is the Evangelical Christian Church, and they start recruiting at birth. The events that led me to the altar at a televised megachurch are complex, but they started in homeroom. My first day at Barbara Bush Middle School in San Antonio, Texas, was January 7th, 1998, second semester of eighth grade. I was little, weird, new, and missing two of my front teeth, but I had a very important skill. Since I was a baby in New Jersey, we had moved every few years. My dad worked for AT&T right when its monopoly broke. Yankee families flung all over the South and Southwest, and thus I could tell, without any help at all, who else was a new kid. And so I lasered in on her, my new best friend, Amy Rose Feller. She was as beautiful as I was strange, the kind of eighth grade girl that gets unwanted attention at the Red Lobster. That Halloween, I went as Mr. Potato Head. That summer, she was crowned Miss Teen Texas. But still, we were both new and she was happy to have me. The gateway to my evangelism was Amy's front door. Her dad was the college minister at the megachurch on the corner of Stone Oak and 1604. Cornerstone, founded by the famous televangelist Pastor John Hagee. One time, we were at her house, and we couldn't find a VHS tape we wanted to watch. Her sister, Tammy, a skinny girl always in men's basketball shorts, suggested we pray about it. Her mother agreed. We sat down in a circle and prayed our guts out. We prayed and prayed and prayed some more. When we opened our eyes, there it was, the video cassette. I think it was Sleepless in Seattle, but I can't be sure. My mind was blown. I started praying for things all the time. My Everclear CD to stop skipping, for breasts, for a boyfriend, for my grandma to kick her cancer, for the things 14-year-old girls pray for. But to my dismay, no Sleepless in Seattle moments. Clearly, I wasn't faithful enough to have this wizarding power. I would have to go further. I would have to be saved. It was shortly thereafter that I started going with them to Cornerstone. Cornerstone is non-denominational, which sometimes in the South means something like very fucking close to Pentecostal, possibly with snake biting. I went to Youth Fire, the high school group. They stay away from the big political ideas there. We only heard about Israel and the hateful theology of the Catholic Church every once in a while. But they bang pretty hard on the hellfire and brimstone bongos. But first, they get you high. You walk into a packed auditorium where incredible musicians and singers sing some killer harmonies about Jesus. At the time, the only concert I'd ever been to was Third Eye Blind, so I was super impressed. Even though Eve 6 had opened for them, they were also pretty good. This worship band was way better. And with the words projected right above the band, right under the cross, I could sing along too. You put your hands up, you close your eyes, you sway, you cry, you submit. You stop thinking about how you haven't had your first period yet and how you're terrified to start at Ronald Reagan High School the next year. And you just melt into the soft, husky voice of the youth pastor telling you that you can have everything you dream of if you just give all of yourself. And then, in the quiet and stillness of prayers, tears, and guitar chords, you start to hear it. I'm quoting the Bible right now. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. It's Mark. When you're saved, you're supposed to expect miracles. One of those miracles is the gift of speaking in tongues. For someone who hasn't heard it, it sounds wildly different for each speaker, babbling syllables over and over, gushing out of teenage mouths like rivers. Sometimes they pass out, which is called being slain in the spirit and makes you even more Christian. I was skeptical, but in the atmosphere they created, it wasn't scary, it was intoxicating. I wanted to live in a world where God grants us supernatural gifts. I want my faith to fulfill the promises of the New Testament. I wanted VHS tapes to appear when I close my eyes, but I had my doubts. That's why when the pastor asked us who wanted to be saved, I slowly made my way to the altar. I longed to be forgiven for all the masturbation I had done in my jacuzzi water jet nozzle. I longed to be forgiven for all the lies I had told to seem interesting. I longed to be forgiven for the strange sexual fantasy I sometimes had about Jesus Christ himself. So I went to the front, knelt on the floor, and allowed about 12 people to lay hands on me. Amy Rose and Tammy followed, thrilled with my progress. After church, they gave me the download, How to Be a Christian 101. Here's some highlights. Number one. When you get saved, the devil comes for you extra hard. He wants your soul back, therefore you have to be extra careful what you do. Number two, you have to stop listening to secular music. That means anything that's not worship or Christian radio music. No country, no instrumentals, acoustic guitars, and Jesus only. I later discovered Christian rap and wrote an album, but it was unsuccessful. Number three, you can't talk to non-Christian people for a few days. For me, this included my parents, because they were Catholics. They handed me a new Bible with a picture of a skateboard on the front, translated for teens in everyday English to say exactly what Cornerstone wanted it to say, and sent me on my way. So I went back to my life expecting miracles. Instead, nothing. I still hated my little brother. I still wanted to sneak out. I still went on AOL chat rooms. So the next Sunday night, I went back to the altar. And the next, for 8 Sundays. It just didn't take. I felt disappointed but moved on. I just wasn't a good Christian like Amy Rose was. She loved me anyway. She was a good person. Years passed, and I outgrew this strict theology of Cornerstone. I didn't totally abandon my Christianity, but used it to further my increasingly liberal political agenda. I can argue with the original Greek why the Bible actually does not condemn homosexuality. In high school, I had a newspaper column on the Christian left. Then we went to college, and in her freshman year, Amy Rose left her gorgeous boyfriend for a gorgeous woman named Tara, all legs and blonde hair. They dropped out and moved in with Tammy in an apartment in San Antonio. They dabbled in drugs. Tammy did more than dabble, actually, and eventually, in her 19th year, little Tammy Feller took $90,000 from a safe of the bank she worked at, walked out, and drove to Mexico with her gay best friend. Cornerstone fired Mr. Feller. But that didn't stop this family space. Faith. They doubled down. They could control this. They could control themselves, their thoughts. They could control her junkie sister, who somehow only served 60 days in county. Where was the VHS tape now? When would it appear? I don't want to go into the torrid details or judge them, but I do want to name part of the problem. No one can live up to that standards, those standards. No one can live up to the propaganda. Anything you love in that culture, jazz, Star Trek, Harry Potter, gay sex, science, it's all very problematic. Your thoughts, your body, your spirit, your relationship, it's a constant game of minesweeper, turning over each little rock in your life to see where the sin is. So you ignore them, and the rocks turn to boulders. I have so many stories like this, stories that start with a good Christian family and end with meth and prostitution and sex scandals. I could keep you here all night. They are shiny reminders to us in this liberal bastion that those people don't know anything. But I tell you, for those who grow up in it, fundamentalist fanaticism isn't much of a choice. It's one of the deepest, most insidious forms of brainwashing and self-shame in the modern world. I feel weird sharing the story, like I'm betraying my white Christian heritage somehow. This isn't about Jesus or faith or the Bible. Half of the New Testament sounds like David Matthews' lyrics, to be honest. I know so many good Christians, but then I consider the bad priests, David Koresh. I consider Ted Cruz, Prop 8, Promise Rings, how much happier Lindsey Graham would be if he just came out of the fucking closet. And I know that any system with only one acceptable worldview is a harmful one. Even if it's all real, even if the New Testament is nonfiction and that's the reality we're living in, it's not supposed to be like that. No matter who's pulling the strings, life's supposed to be about love and joy. I still talk to Tammy. She is shaken by trauma, not just from county jail, but mostly from Cornerstone. I miss them both. I dream about it all the time. But I never reached out to Amy Rose, and I never spoke in tongues.
That was Christina Segala on Propaganda. If you liked this week's episode, consider sharing it with a friend and subscribing to our podcast on iTunes so you can have new episodes automatically delivered to you each week. A full archive of all of our past podcast episodes is available at roguemachinetheater.com. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week when Propaganda gets parental. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Our guest co-producer this month is David Jetty. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Not a Strong. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Yeah.